Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. We have been studying the life of Jonah this week. As you recall, Jonah was an Israelite prophet about 750 or so years before the birth of Christ. Jonah was given a very specific assignment by God. In the very first chapter and first verse, we find God instructing Jonah to go to the great city of Nineveh, the Assyrian capital, and to preach against the wickedness that God had seen in that place. But Jonah's response to God's orders was to flee in the opposite direction. And as you'll remember, his disobedience resulted in his life taking a decided turn for the worst. He found himself in a most bizarre circumstance. Out on the seas in the middle of a great storm, he was tossed overboard by the sailors and found himself still alive, but inside the belly of a great fish, which God had appointed to swallow him up. And after 3 days and three nights, in the most uncomfortable circumstances a person could imagine, Jonah had a change of heart. He was ready to obey God. God commanded the fish, we are told in Jonah 2:10, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. So now we find Jonah ready to obey God. So he begins on his journey to the great city of Nineveh. We know that it must have required great faith to go into that city because it was an enemy of Israel and it was heavily fortified. Historians tell us that Nineveh was a large city, potentially 60 miles in circumference and surrounded by moats filled with water, as well as a 100-foot-high wall that surrounded the entire city. But by God's divine assignment, Jonah found his way into that fortified place. Jonah's appearance must have caused an amazing stir, because after being 3 days in the belly of the whale or great fish, as it's referred to, Jonah's skin and hair would have been severely bleached by the digestive juices, making his physical appearance a literal sign and a wonder. The very sight of Jonah in Nineveh must have gotten the people's attention. In Jonah 2, verse 5, we read, "Then Jonah began to go through the city one day's walk, and he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown.' Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast, and they put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, 'In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them drink water. Both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish.' When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." Jonah's preaching had dramatic results. Everyone from the king to the cattle took the position of repentance. Jonah went to a nearby hill outside the city where he awaited to see the outcome. But when he realized that God was going to spare the city instead of destroy it, Jonah was angry. And he told God he wanted to die rather than live. But the Lord rebuked Jonah by asking him, "Do you have any good reason to be angry? Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons?" Jonah's reaction and his words revealed something about his heart. Though Jonah obeyed God when he was given that second chance after being unceremoniously deposited on the shore by the great fish, his heart was obviously not in it. If he had embraced God's plan and his will, he would have rejoiced when the people repented. But instead, he was mad. Not only was his prophecy about the city not going to come to pass, but his people's arch enemies, the Assyrians, were going to escape God's judgment, and Jonah was not happy about that. When a person does the will of God, one of the fruits of that should be joy and contentment with seeing God's will being done. Isaiah 1:19 tells us, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land." Jonah was obedient to God, but he was not willing. Willingness is from the heart. The Hebrew word abba, which is translated willing in Isaiah 1:19, means to rest content. Jonah was not resting content in God's assignment for him. Jonah did do what God said, which was obedience, but he did so reluctantly, which was unwillingly. Many people today are reluctantly doing God's will. They are obedient in their actions, but they are not willing in their hearts. Then they wonder why God is not blessing them since they are doing what he said. But they are not experiencing the good of the land. Remember that scripture, "If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land." And the good of the land is representative of God's richest blessings for your life. For example, I have observed people in marriages say this, "I'm obeying God because I know he wants me to stay married to my spouse, but I don't like it." That person may be acting obediently, but their heart is not willing. It is a decision of your will to be willing to honor God's call on your life. If you will make the adjustment in your heart to choose both obedience and willingness, or to get your will involved, you will eat the good of the land. God wants to bless you with the good of the land, but he's looking at your heart. Willingness is not an emotion. It is a choice of your will. Imagine the difference between two people who are both in unhappy marriages. One of them decides, "I'm going to stick out this marriage because divorce is not God's will." He decides to obey God, doesn't divorce his wife, though he is miserable about it the whole time. The second person decides, "I'm going to obey God and I'm going to keep my marriage vows and I choose to do it with a willing heart and I will look for ways to invest unconditional love, time, encouraging words into my marriage." Now, which of those two people will end up experiencing the good of the land in their marriage? Remember Isaiah 1:19, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land." Jonah's story illustrates for us the folly of running from God, both in our actions, as Jonah did in the very beginning when he ran away and tried to go in the opposite direction from Nineveh, and then secondly, the folly of running away from God with our heart attitude. If God has given you a specific assignment, but you have been literally reluctant about it, though you may be walking it out, going through the motions, so to speak, you are undoubtedly not experiencing joy or eating the good of the land. If you'll just make a little adjustment on the inside of your spirit and agree to be willing to do God's will, not only outwardly with your actions, but with a heart attitude of willingness to invest and do it God's way, God will be able to bless you. I have observed also people who had a willingness to go and do a particular thing for God, but something caused them to hold back in their actions. They may have been willing to go on the mission field, but they never obeyed in their action. And so though they had a willing heart, they were not obedient. And as a result, they were also miserable. Whichever part, the willing part or the obedience part that you are lacking, just make that adjustment with the help of God and by His grace, and you'll be able to eat the good of the land, the blessings of God He longs to pour out into your life. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you, be willing and obedient, and you will eat the good of the land. Hi, thanks for listening today. I would like to invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Hidden with Christ Ministries. We call our partners supply keepers. In the Old Testament, the supply keeper was the one that maintained and distributed the material supplies needed by the soldiers who were going out to the front lines of battle. Our supply keepers help us broadcast the gospel around the world. We are currently broadcasting our program in Russia, in Europe, in North Africa, in the South Pacific, and Australia, and we are longing to expand into the Middle East and to all of Asia. Call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS or email us through our website and let us know that you'd like to become a supply keeper, helping to disciple the nations before the return of our Lord.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.